From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Called to be light, we would carry God's hope in the shadows of the world. Called to be salt, we would enhance the lives of those around us with joy. Called to live in God's reality, we would welcome everyone as sisters and brothers in faith. When we see the hungry and refuse to pass them by, when we humbly notice those walking shoeless in winter, before we repair the holes in our souls, we will worship you truly, God of the feast and the fast. When we think the line workers are as valuable as the CEOs, when we give our in-law apartment to a homeless family, we will follow you faithfully, servant of the oppressed. And when we mend fences with our siblings and build bridges to our enemies, when our cries for justice are louder than a vuvuzela, we will proclaim your hopes, spirit of justice. Then we will be like a royal botanical garden watered by that grace, which never runs dry, God in community, holy in one, even as we pray as we are taught, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Our anthem, Seekers of Light, is by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick.
Son of the dawn, you are our vision.
for illumination, and the Old Testament reading is by Alan Chambers.
Would you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Still speaking God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our Rock and Redeemer. The Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and thou seest it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and thou takest no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day of acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go up before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Our gospel reading from Matthew and our sermon entitled Salty Do-Gooders is by our minister, Reverend Lovins.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Jesus says, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let me ask this morning, who here likes bacon? You like bacon? How about movie theater popcorn? Like that? Caramel. Okay. Who here likes margaritas? All right. Okay. There are the things, right? And the reason why you like those things are because of the saltiness of them. We love salt. Salt can take something that's very bland and tasteless and put within it a tart, a zing, a tang that we crave. That's why what Jesus says in our passage of Scripture today about the salt of the earth is perhaps one of the greatest compliments he's ever paid to his followers. He said, You are salt, but not just any kind of salt. He says, You are the salt of the earth. You're on this earth to bring life to life, to put a punch, a zest, a zing, a tang into life. And that's what we are. We're the salt of the earth. In fact, I have found in my ministry, that when someone's faith is flagging, or they're just kind of limping along barely in their faith, or when a church seems to lack life and energy and zest and punch and joy, it's usually because somewhere along the line we have lost our saltiness. In fact, it was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said, "When I was a child, I felt a call of God to go into the ministry, and I would have become a clergyman had not every clergyman I met acted and dressed and spoke like an undertaker." And so he decided not to go into the ministry for that very reason. It was Friedrich Nietzsche, the renowned atheist, who one day walking home from church said of his father, who was the pastor at the church, he said, "Does that thing behind the pulpit ever laugh or cry? Does it ever?" You see, it was not a lack of intellectual rigor that turned Nietzsche off, but it was a lack of passion, a lack of passion, a lack of saltiness that turned him away from the Christian faith. And how unusual that is, because here we are following the saltiest of all leaders. I mean, read the Gospels, read about Jesus, and people hung off the edge of their seats when they listened to him preach. And when they heard him preach and when they saw him minister, they had one of two reactions. "Wow, we have never heard anyone speak with such power and authority." Or, "See how he loved." It was Fred Craddock who said, "Boredom is a sin." And so Christians ought never to be boring, because boredom is a sin. We are the salt of the earth. Now, in Jesus' day, salt wasn't just a spice, but it was used for other things as well. Brian mentioned this. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. And still to this day, when we talk about a worker or a craftsman, we say, "Are they worth their salt? Are they worth being paid for what they do?" Right? So we still have this terminology around. And salt was also used to preserve certain things. Salt was basically an antiseptic. And so when Jesus says, "You're the salt of the earth," he's paying us a great compliment, right? He's saying you're precious, you're valuable. Not only that, he's saying that you add spice and zest to life. You're a buffer against the evil and the oppression and injustice that's in the world. You are the salt of the earth. I remember hearing a story that Tony Campolo shared a few years ago. And it was about when he was in high school. Campolo is now a sociologist at Eastern University in Pennsylvania. And he said, "When I was in high school, I was friends with a young man by the name of Roger. And Roger was sort of a late bloomer in life, and he was kind of effeminate, a tender soul. And for that reason, the other kids, specifically the athletes in school, would make fun of him, and they would mock him as he walked down the hall, and they would tell crude jokes about him. And so Roger avoided a lot of people for that reason, because he was made fun of all the time. He would never go into the showers to wash with the other boys after gym class, because he was afraid that they would take wet towels and pop them against his body, and so he just stayed away. Well, one day after gym class, some of these boys grabbed him and they hogtied him and they took him into the showers and they threw him down in the corner just to kind of scare the life out of him. They weren't really going to injure him or hurt him, but they just wanted to scare him. And they accomplished that, but not only that, after they scared him, they debased him and humiliated him in an obscene way. He got up and he left and he went home. And that night, when everyone was asleep in his house, he got up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and Roger went down into the basement and took his own life. Tony Campolo says that that was the first time in my life that I realized that I wasn't a real Christian. He said, "I went to church, I knew the creed, I said the prayers, I had all the right beliefs, but I knew right then when I heard what Roger had done that I wasn't a Christian. Because never once did I stand up to defend Roger. Never once. He was my friend, but never once did I put my arm around him and say to those who picked on him, 'Stop it, because Roger is my friend.' And I knew that night that I wasn't a real Christian because I didn't stand up for Roger." That's what Jesus is saying when he says, you are the salt of the earth. Not just that we add zest and punch and life and joy to life, but We preserve something in this world, and not just that, but we're sort of an antiseptic to injustice and evil and oppression. It was Maya Angelou who said, at the end of all things, people will forget about what you have said. They will forget about what you have done, but they will never forget. They will always remember how you made them feel. They will always remember how you made them feel. And so, friends, we need to remember today ourselves that we are salt. We are the salt of the earth. But not just that. We're also the light of the world. We shine the light of Jesus. The light of Christ is refracted through us to others. And why does light exist? To shine. To dispel the darkness. Right? To illuminate. That's why there's light. In Jesus' day, of course, homes were very simple. Usually just one room, as far as the living space is concerned. And there was usually just one window, a very small window, a rectangular window. And so, day or night, it was always very dimly lit in the house. And for that reason, there was always a lamp burning in the house. In the daytime, there would be a lamp or a candle burning. And they would cover it with a bowl, a perforated bowl, so that if it got knocked over, it wouldn't burn up everything in the house. But at night, they would lift up the bowl so that the light would shine and illuminate everything in the house. And Jesus draws on this custom, on this practice, to say, that's what you are. You're like that candle. You're like that torch. You are the light of the world. And he's saying, so you can't hide it. You can't cover it up with a bowl because this world is full of darkness and evil and sin. And the reason why you exist is to add flavor and punch and zest and to preserve that which is good and to dispel the darkness, to dispel that which is evil and wrong and unjust. So be what I've called you to be. Now, usually when I have thought about Jesus' ministry, I always see Jesus as kind of a preacher. That's what I see when I read about Jesus' ministry. A preacher, an orator, a storyteller. A guy who told these fascinating parables. But if you back up in our text today, you'll see that Jesus was much more than just a preacher. In fact, right before you get to the famed Sermon on the Mount, Matthew gives this outline of Jesus' ministry. Matthew says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Very important. He taught, he preached, and then he healed. Which says that Jesus had both an inner and an outer ministry. He ministered to the heart, the mind, the soul, but he also ministered to the external self. Jesus' ministry was not just a ministry in word, but it was a ministry of word and deed. Jesus afflicted the comfortable, but he comforted the afflicted through word and deed. And what Jesus is saying when he says, you're salt, you're light, he's paying us the highest compliment ever. He's saying, you're valuable, you're precious, you're useful. But let me ask you a question. Is salt achieving its purpose if it remains in the salt shaker? No. The salt has to come out of the shaker in order to be useful, to accomplish its purpose. Is light accomplishing its purpose if it's hid under a bowl, if it's muted? No. We have to lift up the bowl and let the light shine. Let our goodness shine. Now, to be salt and light, usually when I've thought about that, I've thought that, well, to be light, to be salt, you have to have a really gregarious personality, right? And that's generally what I think. I point at this person over there. Boy, they really let their light shine. That person is effervescent and radiant. That's what it means to be salt and light. And we point to the most charismatic person in the room. And probably in the back of my head, when I think of Jesus, I think that, wow, he must have had this outgoing, charismatic personality because people just wanted to be around him. And maybe that's true, maybe it isn't true. I don't know. But Jesus tells us in our passage of Scripture today how we do this, how we become salt, how we become light. And he says this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's right there. A salty person, a light-filled person, is that. They are a salty do-gooder because they do good deeds. They let not only their words speak, but their actions speak. Their actions speak even louder than their words. And Jesus says that this is the way we reach the world. A few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago now, one of the most sad things that has ever occurred in my ministry happened. And frankly, until this week, I didn't realize that it was sort of the low point of my ministry. But in reflecting on it this week, I thought, yeah, well, there it is. That's the low point. And I remember that, 6, 7 years ago, I was at a church, and I was really intent on reaching the community where we're at. Because I was reflecting on these passages, and I thought, you know, we're really great at worship at the church. We have this awesome worship band, and we have these fantastic people, but it seems like we're always hanging out in the salt shaker. We're just always at church. And anytime we do good stuff, we do it at the church. And so the Lord started to speak to me about how do we get the church outside of the four walls, and how do we start doing salty things in the world? How do we lift the lid and let our light shine? So I had this idea, and I felt like it was from God. And I went before the board with it, and I said, you know, one Sunday out of the year, just one Sunday, rather than me getting up on a Sunday morning and preaching a sermon, instead of doing that, why don't we not have worship on Sunday morning? And why don't we go out into the community, and why don't we be a sermon in the community? And why don't we do good works in the community on that Sunday as our worship to God? Why don't we pick up trash and rake leaves and clean people's houses and do nice things? Why don't we wash cars? Why don't we fix stuff that's broken? Why don't we paint stuff that needs painting? In this way, we get the salt out of the salt shaker. In this way, we're not just doing church on Sunday morning, but we are the church. One Sunday out of the year. Well, the deacons thought about it and they prayed about it. And they came back and, of course, they said no. And it's not the first time someone has told me no. I'm used to being told no by now. But that's not what I recall most about the conversation was the no. No is fine. But it's the explanation behind the no that I carry with me as a wound today. He said, well, we're not going to do that because, Pastor, we think that less than 10% of the people in the church would participate in your mission. And second of all, we're not going to do it because we think we would lose money. And third of all, Pastor, after all is said and done, much more is said than done. After all is said and done, much more is said than done. And it was like a punch to the gut. Not because they had offended me, but because I started to look at my life and I thought, is this me too? Am I also this way? And I thought, you know what? I have taught more than I have ever lived. I have challenged others more than I have ever changed in my own life. And that really sunk down deep in my heart and troubled me because this is what I know. I know that one day we'll stand before God and we will not be judged by how well we worshiped one day out of the week, but we will be judged by how we've lived the other 6 days of the week. Right? And Jesus says, you know what you are? And it's a great compliment. Wow. Jesus says, you're like money in the bank. That's what he said. You're the salt of the earth. You're the very people that cause things from not going to hell in a bank handbasket. He says, you are the light of the world. So let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's what Jesus is saying. Got to get out of the salt shaker. We got to lift the bowl off the light and let the light shine. That's what Jesus is saying. Here not long ago, I heard about a jeweler in New York City who came by an exquisite diamond, unparalleled in its beauty. And a Dutch merchant had heard about this precious stone and wanted to see it. And so he traveled to New York to take a look at the stone to perhaps buy it. Well, the owner of the store sent his assistant out to sell the stone. And the assistant held it in his hand, and he described it exquisitely, with perfect technical detail, describing the color and the cut and the clarity of the diamond. It was perfect in every way. But after he described the diamond, the merchant looked at it, and this Dutchman, he didn't want it. In fact, he got ready to walk out of the store. But then the owner of the store said, wait one second. Let me see if I can describe it better. And so the owner of the store took the diamond in his hand, and he just rolled it around in his hand. And he described its beauty, talked about how it made him feel on the inside, and how it was unlike any other diamond that he had touched or looked at before, that it truly was unique and unparalleled. And for whatever reason, in that moment, in that instant, the merchant said, yeah, I'll take it. He bought the diamond, he put it in his pocket, and he got ready to leave. Then he stopped, and he turned around, and he said to the owner, he said, I wonder why you were able to sell me the stone, and yet your assistant wasn't. And the owner said, well, it's because I have something that my assistant does not have. He said, he's the best there is. He knows more about diamonds than anybody else. But I have something he doesn't. He said, you see, my assistant knows diamonds, but I love them. And that's the difference. And I think that's the key to being salt. And that's the key to being light. It's not how much you know about Jesus. It's how much you love him. It's how much you love him. We want to be an effective church. We want to be the salt of the earth. We want to be the light of the world. The key is falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love. How simple is that? Falling in love with Jesus, loving him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, the one who gave his life for us and rose again. Falling in love with him. And when that love gets deep in our hearts, it begins to overflow into the lives of other people as they what? As they see our winsome personality, our gregarious spirit and nature. No, as they see our good deeds. See, you can be salt. You can be light. We are salt and light, and others do indeed bow down and praise our Father in heaven when they look at us and they see our love. Those good deeds that pour forth from the love of God in us. Let's pray. Oh God, make us salty again. Salty with love. Salty with light. Help us to be salty do-gooders. To add punch and zest and joy and passion into this bland world that we live in. May we be lit up by Jesus, given zest and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray it in the strong and mighty name of our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.